Okay, we begin here with the Mishnah on Samachayim with Aleph. The Mishnah says, Ketzad Eino Sin. How do they actually do the Omer? And what's the procedure by which they do the Omer? Shluchai Beitin Yotzim, Me'erev Yom Tov. Shluchai Beitin go out on Erev Yom Tov. Osim Otan Krichot Be'mechubar Lekarka. They go and start tying the wheat together. I mean, the heads of the wheat they tie together, leaving it still planted in the ground. Kedei She'noach Liktzor, in order that it be easy to cut once they come on Motzei Yom Tov to cut it for the Omer. It's basically a handful which the amount of a harvester would grab together. They tie together in order to be ready both to demarcate where they're going to cut from as well as have it prepared for Motzei Yom Tov. Kol ha'yareot ha'smuchot l'sham. All the cities surrounding that area, mitkansot l'sham, they gather together there on Motzei Yom Tov. Kedei she'niktzar be'esek gadol. In order that they would harvest it with a big fuss, with a large pomp and circumstance. Kevin Shahakashekha, once it turns dark, Omer Lahem Ba Shemesh, has the sun set? Omer Hin, they say yes. Ba Shemesh, did it set? Omer Hin, they say yes. Magalzo, this side? Omer Hin. Magalzo, Omer Hin. Kupazo, this basket? Omer Hin. Kupazo, Omer Hin, the basket again? Yes. Bishabbat, Omer Lahen, Shabbat Zo? On this Shabbat we're going to do this? Amar Hin, they would say yes. Shabbat Zo, Amar Hin. Can they say yes? Exor, should I cut this? Should I harvest this? Benomim lo ktzor. Exor, should I harvest it? Benomim lo ktzor. Shalosh pamim akol davar v'davar. Our mission only enumerates two, but it's telling you here that they did this three times for each of these. Behenomim lo hin. Hin, hin. They say back to him, yes, yes, yes. It's not clear here, although from the nature of the Mishnah, it sounds like they say the item three times, and each one of those times they answer yes. Although you could read the Mishnah to be saying that each time that they said something, for instance, Shabbat Zol, they would say hin, hin, hin. They would answer three times in the affirmative. It's not clear. Kol kach lama. Why go through all of this trouble and all of this pomp and circumstance and fuss over cutting the Omer? It's a very simple procedure. You go out and you just cut the wheat for what you need. Mipnei ha'baitusim. It's because of the baitusim who are the brothers to the tzdukim, both of which believe only in Torah shebichtav, not in Torah shebaalpeh. Sheomrim, en ktzirat Omer b'motzei Yom Tov. Ktzirat Omer does not take place on Motzei Yom Tov, but rather on Motzei Shabbat. And that's because, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, it says, Mimacharat HaShabbat. And the question is, what's the meaning of Mimacharat HaShabbat? Chazal determined, and we're going to see the number of limudim here, that Mimacharat HaShabbat means Mimacharat Yom Tov. It's the night after Motzei Yom Tov, the 16th of Nisan. Whereas the Baitusim and the Tzdukim believed that it was literally Motzei Shabbat, and it was Mimacharat HaShabbat of Shabbat Bereshit. And that gives you the difference in their opinion. So Chazal went out of their way when they were doing it to illustrate and demonstrate that it was not like the Baitusim, but rather they were doing it on Motzei Yom Tov, and that's why they made it such a public issue. Baitus Tzadok were both students of Antigonus Ish Socho, and the Mishnah Navot that speaks about being careful what you teach to your Talmidim is referencing to this, that Antigonus Socho, who has the statement over there, that mitzvot are not given for their schar. We don't do mitzvot because of the reward. This is an avot to Rabbi Natan, and that made them come to the conclusion, if mitzvot that there's no reward means there's no lo amaba, then what is this all about? And then they went off the derech. So they're both tamidim of Antigonus Ish Socho, and they came to a similar conclusion or a similar view, which is that Torah shebichtav is the way to go, not Torah shebaalpeh. Torah shebaalpeh is made up by the chachamim, is interpretation that was imposed by the Chachamim, but that's not the true meaning of the text. So the Gemara doesn't necessarily separate between them. Sometimes it calls them Baitusim, sometimes Tukim. It seems to me that they were of a similar ilk. I don't know if there were nuances between them, but here the Gemara calls them Baitusim. In other places we see them called Tukim. Tanu Banan, Ilein Yomaya, Delo Lihitana Behon, Omitzaton, Delo Misped Behon. So these are the days. This is from Megillat Ta'anit. Megillat Ta'anit is a list of all the holidays that were put in place during the time of Bayit Sheni. They celebrated different moments during Bayit Sheni, some of them military victories, including some of the great battles of the Chashmonaim, some of them more spiritual battles, where they were successful at winning arguments against the Tzukim, the Beit Tusim, other events that took place, and they had a list of these items in Megillat Tanit, and here the introductory phrase is, Kilein Yomaya, Delohitana Behom. These are the days that one does not fast on them, Umiksaton, and a portion of them, Delohitana Mispeh Behom. You can't even eulogize on them. It's clear from the opening that Tanit is a lower form of restriction. So some days you just can't fast. Other days, not only can you not fast, you can't give eulogies. Those are the nature of the holidays that are listed over there. And now they give here some of those holidays which we're going to discuss. Reish Yarchad Nisan, Ad Tamnaya Bey, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the 8th of Nisan. Itokam Tmidah, they put the Tamid back in place. The Kurban HaTamid was now back on its track. Delola misfade, and therefore one should not have hesfade on those days. Umi tamnaya bay, bat sov mo'ada, from the 8th of Nisan until after Pesach, to the end of the Moed, itotov chagad dishvuyaya. On those days, the chag of Shavuot was put in its right place. And then here there's a question about the Girsa. Girsa that Agamar shows is delola misfade, which makes it equivalent to the previous 8 days. Rashi's Girsa is lo mit ana behom. It's not fast on them, and it's a lower level, and Rashi explains why that. Because the Tzeret, when it came to Shavuot, lo yeshum raya the divrei by tusim, with no evidence in the psukim to their statement, aval b'tamid, with the korban tamid, which we're going to see in a second, hayta raya the divrehem. They do have a basis in the psukim. And in both these instances, Chazal, in the debate, overcame the claims of the Beit Tusim. And so the celebration was the fact that they were successful at reestablishing Torah Shabbat Peh and the proper interpretation of the Sukkim by the Korban HaTamid and by Shavuot. So Rashi says the reason that they were more strict or they created more celebratory time with regards to the Tamid was because there it was a little more precarious. The evidence they bring is a decent piece of evidence. So therefore, when Chazal won with their response, they felt that there was more reason to celebrate. Whereas the claim by Shavuot is a much weaker claim, and therefore they made it just a simpler celebration. That's Rashi's view of this. As an aside, I would say that the truth is that their proof by Shavuot seems to be much stronger than that by Korban HaTamid. I would say just the opposite of Rashi, and we'll see these claims in a second. The Bali HaTosafot say, this is the Girsa in all the Sfarim that we have, Uperish Spakunches. And Rashi explains, and which is what we just said, he says, in the end of Tanit, the Girsa is just the opposite. Itokam Tmida, the lowly Ta'anav, that when they got the Tamid back on track, it was to not fast on those days. And Itotav Chagadishvaya, the lowly Mispeh Bon. And then when they established Shavuot, then they had it be even a more celebratory time, which was that not only could you not fast on it, you could not give a eulogy. The Girsa Zonechuna. He says, this Girsa is right. He does it based on the questions that you might have about this. We're not going to deal with them today, but the Gemara Tanit deals with them. Why do you need a holiday from Rosh Chodesh until the 8th? Rosh Chodesh is already a holiday in of itself. These items are restricted already on Rosh Chodesh. So why do you need to start at Rosh Chodesh and go to the 8th? Number two is, if the 8th was already covered, why do you need to go from the 8th again until the end of the Chag? So why do you need through the Chag? Pesach itself and Chol HaMoed are all restricted in these items anyway. Why do you need this? These are the questions that are asked in the Gemara Tanit. The answer that's given is to be Oser Lifnehem U'Achrehen, which is that these holidays, the machlok between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, as to the impact of these holidays on the day before and the day after these holidays. As part of the reinforcement of these holidays, Midrabanan, they also added in the day before, the day afterwards were also restricted, not just the days of the holiday. And so that's the answer of the Gemara Tanit. By putting them on days that are already restricted, it has no impact on that day, but it might have impact on the previous day, it might have impact on the subsequent day. So Tosafot proves from that it has to be that the order of the items here is that which they won with regards to the argument or debate with the Korban HaTamid was the lower form. That was only lo litana b'hon, not too fast on those days. And when they won the debate with regards to Shavuot, that was a low misfade bone, because then it works out in terms of the before and after, which also logically would seems to fit better because the Shavuot issue was a very serious issue. We know that from the Mishnayot and Rosh Hashanah, that they had problems with the signaling of the day of Rosh Chodesh because of the fact that the Beit Tusim Tzukim were trying to ensure that the holiday came out so that it would be Motzei Shabbat and not just Motzei Yom Tov. So we know there were serious issues and serious interference to make it work that way. They hired witnesses to come in and lie about Rosh Chodesh in order to get it so that Yom Tov would be on Shabbat and it would be on Motzei Shabbat. We know they made a serious effort in this area, and would it make more sense that winning that debate was significant, as well as the fact that I think that the proof text that they have is more substantial with regards to Shavuot, the opposite of what Rashi says. And that's what Tosafot says over here, that the Girsa should be just the opposite of what Rashi says the Girsa is. Rabbi Akiva Eiger points out the difficulty with that explanation because of the overlap in the 8 days and the question the Gemara asks in the Tanit. Because it'd be obvious why you need that 8 day, because that on misfaid on top of Tanit, according to the Balei Tosafot. Rabbeinu Gershom over here has an interesting shita, which basically is the Girsa of Rashi, with the view of Tosafot that the victory with regards to Shavuot was more significant than the victory with regards to the Korban Tomid, by saying that the explanation of the Lo Mispeid Bahon, although the Tana Bahon is different than Rashi and Tosafot over here, that Lo Mispeid Bahon means you cannot eulogize, but Mutar Lehitanot, you can fast. And vice versa, Lo Itana Bahon, don't fast on them, is Mutar B'Mispeid. And that way he has the same gears as Rashi, that the first 8 days were Mispeid, Mispeid only, that was Asur, Tanit was Mutar, whereas the second set of 8 days, the fasting was Asur, but Mispeid was Mutar. And in that way, the second set of 8 days were more Chamur than the first 8 days. Now the Gemara says, Merei Shachat Nisan, Ve'ad Tamna Yebeit, Itokim Tmidah Talo Mispeid. They established that the Tamid would be okay, and therefore, you shouldn't have eulogies during that time. Again, this follows the Girsa that we have in our Gemara, not the way that the Baal Tosa would have it. Shayut Stukim Omrim, Yachid Midnadev Umevi Tamid. You can have a personal donation be the source of the Korban HaTamid. Someone can donate it, an individual, and it doesn't have to come from the coffers of the Tzibur. My Dorush, what was their drasha? Et HaKeves, either HaEchad or Keves Echad Taseh BaBoker, et HaKeves HaSheni Taseh Ben Arabayim. So it's written in the singular. So it sounds like individuals can bring the Korban HaTamid. My Adru, what was the response of the Chachamim? Et Korbani Lachmi Lishai Reach Nichochi Tishmiru Lachmi Bli B'Moado. Tishmiru is written in the plural. Shiyu Kulam Baim Mitrumat Alishka. Fact is that according to the Chachamim, it all comes out of the budget of the Beit HaMikdash from the Trumat HaLishka, which is supplied by the Machatzit HaShekel that everyone donates to the Mikdash. The Rabbeinu Gershom brings that limud of Rashi, that it comes from Tishmeru, but then he adds an additional limud, which is from the words that are mentioned in the Pasuk over here, it's Korbani Lachmi Li'ishai. We learn how to include other things, including the Shtei Alechem, and all these Korbanot HaTzibur that come from the Trumat HaLishka, Tichtiv, Bet Olat Chodesh B'chadsho Chadesh Vavei Korban. With the new budget, you bring these korbanot mitrumat ha-lishka. And similarly with the tmidim, and that's the proof that they brought. And that relates to what the Balei Tosafot on the Amud Bet, where we seem to be bringing a proof from something that's a drashat chazal to the tztukim of Bait Tusim, only subscribed to Torah Shebichtav. And through that, the Rabbeinu Tam says that there are times when we bring that type of proof of the position of the Chachamim, even though the Bait Tusim and Tzukim wouldn't subscribe to it. Like in this case, the Zot Olat Chodesh B'Chodesho, they don't subscribe to that limud at all. But nevertheless, the Rabbeinu Gershom suggests that that's the explanation here, that these items that are included through that Pasuk also are parallel with the Korban HaTamid, and all of them come from the Trumat HaLishka. That was their opposition to the Tzukim. And through that interpretation of the Pasuk, they were successful at overcoming the claim of the Tzdukim. Mitnamia Bey at Sof Ma'ado. So from the 8th until the end of Pesach, Itotav Chagadishvaya Talola Mispeid Bahom. And again, the Girsa that Rashi has is Talola Itana Bahom. Here they have Talola Mispeid Bahom, both of them. Shayu Baitusim Omrim Atzeret Achara Shabbat. Atzeret comes after Shabbat. Itapa lehem Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is dealing with them. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lives in the period of time during the Korban HaBayit, both prior to Korban HaBayit, also negotiates the quote-unquote surrender to the Romans of Yerushalayim in terms of what the terms would be for what would happen afterwards. And so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is trying to wrest control from the Tzdukim around the Korban HaBayit, and has an opportune time with the Korban HaBayit, because the Tzdukim were very much in control of the Kuhuna and part of the aristocracy. And this makes a big change during the Korban HaBayit, where the Prushim are able to wrest control from the Tzdukim And so much of this revolves around that period of time during the Churban HaBayit, around the Churban HaBayit. Obviously, this is pre-Churban HaBayit because Mitilat Tanit is still in effect. So, Dabalem Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Vermelem, Shutim, Minayim Lachem. Where do you know this from? How do you know it should be on Motzei Shabbat? Lo Ya'adam Achad Shem Yishivo. Not a single person stood up to answer him why it should be on Motzei Shabbat. Chutz Mizaken Achad, except for this one elderly individual, Shem Efatbeit Kenegdo, who was arguing with him, was taking issue with him, Bamar. Moshe Rabbeinu Ohev Yisrael Haya. Moshe Rabbeinu Yisrael was a great lover of Klal Yisrael. Yodea Shetzeret Yom Echadu. And he knows that the holiday of Shavuot is only one day. So anybody who comes from Chutz La'aretz knows that there's a big difference between celebrating Shavuot that's 2 days versus celebrating Shavuot that's only one day. So he says that the holiday is only one day long. Amad b'tigna achar Shabbat. So he went ahead and he established it, put Shavuot after Shabbat. K'dei she'Yisrael mit'angim shnei yamim. He made it into a 2-day yomtov, basically. It'll always come after Shabbat. That way you always have Shabbat and Sunday as the holiday of Shavuot. So it always will be a 2-day yontif, rather than a single day yontif, and then give them an extra time. So Karol HaMikra Zeh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai responded with him with this pasuk, 11 yom Chorev derech Har Seir, that it was an 11-day journey from Chorev, from Har Sinai, derech Har Seir, to enter into Eretz Yisrael. V'moshe Rabbeinu Ohev Yisrael Haya, lama Icharan b'midbar 40 shana. He was such a lover of Israel, if it was only 11 days to get into Eretz Yisrael, why did they spend another 40 years in the Midbar? Amar lo, Rabbi, b'kachatach potrani? That, you want to answer me with that? That's not an answer. We know why they spent 40 years in the Midbar, because they did the wrong thing. They had the chedem raglim. It has nothing to do with Moshe being an oy of Yisrael. So, Amar lo, shilteh, fool. Lo dey Torah shlema shalanu, kesicha b'teila shalachem. Our great Torah should not be like your silly musings, your silly claims that you're bringing over here. Ketuv echad omer, one pasuk says, tisbru chamishim yom, that you count 50 days. Ketuv echad omer, sheva shabbatot tumimot tiena, it should be 7 full weeks. Ha ketzad, how do you reconcile between 50 days and shabbatot tumimot? Kam yom tov shechaliot b'shabbat, kam yom tov shechaliot b'emtza shabbat. One of them has to do when he falls out on Shabbat. That would be the Sheva Shabbatot Mimot. Sheva Shabbatot Mimot sounds like you stand from the beginning of the week and you do a full week cycle, full 7-week cycles. That would be only when Pesach falls out on Shabbat. That's how it'll work. When you have Tisbru Chamishim Yom, you can have 50 days, irrespective of whether it's starting on a weekday, meaning on Sunday, and going week by week by week. That'll happen when it falls out any other day besides Shabbat. When Pesach falls out then, that will be the way that we count, which is 50 days. So there are two different methods of counting. One is Tisbru Chamishim Yom, and one is Shevet Shabbatot Tumimot. Each one to deal with different scenarios. One to deal with the scenario where it falls out on Shabbat, and it's a Motzei Shabbat, and it's full weeks. And the other one to deal with the scenarios where that's not the case, which is every other situation. Now, there are a couple things to note over here. First of all, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's claim to him about Achad Asar Yom Mechorev, Rashi seems to indicate here that he just answered him in a dismissive manner. He wasn't saying anything of substance. It was just a way to push him off. The other hand, the Balei Tosafot claim over here that maybe that isn't the case, but rather the 11 days that they were supposed to travel, Mechorev, Ad Har Seir, and go into Eretz Yisrael, they do that trip in 3 days, according to the Midrashei Chazal, that's based on the timing that they spent 30 days in Kibrot HaTava, and then 7 days waiting for Miriam with regards to Hutzarat. So if you take all those numbers, and then you work out the date that they got there, turns out they only traveled for 3 days. But would it take a normal person to move the distance that normally it would take in 11 days, they did in 3 days. So then that's the question now. If they were so successful at going the 11 days journey they did in 3 days, then why did it take them 40 years to get the rest of the journey done? That was the claim. So Tosafot sees it being as more of a substantial claim or a substantive claim, not just picking some random thing about, oh, it took 11 days and it instead 40 years. He says the 11 days were evidence of the fact that Moshe was working to their benefit and doing it in 3 days. That's his point. If Moshe is such an Ohev Yisrael, why didn't that pace continue? Or why didn't they enter into Eretz Yisrael? That's number one. Number two is, Tosfot over here points out the problem in the Pasuk with regards to Tisbru Chamishim Yom. And I'm just going to read the Pesukim just because there are a number of issues with the Pesukim. One of them is, Usfartim Lechem Mimachrat HaShabbat. The Gemara never brings this, but that is the strongest evidence to the fact of what the Pesukim and Beit Tzusim are saying. It says, Usfartim Lechem Mimachrat HaShabbat. from the day after Shabbat. The day after Shabbat, you would otherwise think is Motzei Shabbat. Chazal, we're going to see over here, interpret the word Shabbat to mean Yom Tov. They mean Macharat Yom Tov. But the simplest reading of the text is Macharat Shabbat, means the day after the Shabbat. That is probably their strongest piece of evidence and probably the reason they believe it should be on Motzei Shabbat. Even though the Gemara never brings that over here, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai raised the issue, nobody spoke up. And that would have been the thing that you would have expected them to say. Meantime, they just bring some silly drosha from this Zakein that he wanted to make it into a two-day Yom Tov. That's why they did it on Motzei Shabbat. Though the Marsha tries to explain the whole sugya based on that, which is that the word Shabbat means both Yom Tov and Shabbat. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's question was, how do you know it means Shabbat over here and not Yom Tov? And that was the answer of this elderly gentleman, that Moshe was no Eid Yisrael. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is poking fun at, which is, how can you compare made-up drasha, which then implies that Moshe Rabbeinu was making up the explanations of the Torah, to the Torah, the real Torah, the Torah Shebaal Peh, where we have the explanations that are the true meaning of the words that are found there. So now, Tosfot wants to understand, why is it that the Pasuk says, Tisbru Chamishim Yom, and yet we don't count 50 days? In the Pasuk, it says, Tzvaydechem Mimarchad HaShabbat, Ve'om HaBiyachem Et Omer HaTnufa, Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot Yen. You have to have 7 full weeks. Ad Mimarchad HaShabbat HaShvi'it, till after the 7th Shabbat, Tisperu Chamishim Yom. You will count 50 days. You drop them in Chach HaShad HaShem. Those don't work out. 7 weeks is 49 days. 7 times 7 would be 49. Over here it says, Ad Mimarchad HaShabbat Shvi'it, to the day after the Shabbat HaShvi'it. Tisperu Chamishim, you'll count 50 days. And as Tosafot points out, we don't count 50 days. Our Omer only goes for 49 days. Shavuot is the 50th day. We don't count that 50th day. So now, Tosafot wants to understand, why is it that the Pasuk says Tisperu Chamishim Yom, and yet we don't count 50 days? Be'esh lomar, tziva katub lispor chamishim, dachi kamar kra. This is what it means. Ad mimachad ha-shabbat ha-shvi'i, shehu yom chamishim tisperu. So he reparses the pasuk to say, ad mimachad ha-shabbat ha-shvi'i, which is the 50th day, tisperu, count to get to the 50th day. So he moves the word tisperu from in front of chamishim yom to after chamishim yom to tell you that we don't count the 50th day, we count 49, because the 50th day is the end. That is the mimacharat Shabbat. Inami, there's another alternative, which is that Ad Mimachad HaShabbat HaShvi'it Tisperu Chamishim Yom. You should count up to 50th day, because Chamishim Yom, you grab the Mincha Chadashad Hashem. On the 50th day, you will bring the Korban, the new Korban to Hashem. So he says that 50 is Ad Velo Ad Bichlau, but it's really modifying the grab the Mincha Chadashah rather than the Tisperu aspect. That's how he deals with the problem of Tisperu Chamishim Yom, that you're not really counting 50, you're only counting 49. Now, the other issue of Mimacharat HaShabbat, the Gemara here is going to bring down answer after answer after answer of Tanaim trying to deal with it. Generally, this is true when you see it in the Balei Tosafot, it's true when you see it in the Gemara. If there is a single answer to the problem, that usually means that it is more simple or straightforward, whatever answer is being given. When they give you several answers, many, many answers to the same question, that's already evidence of the fact that whatever is being said here is not as clear as you would have thought. The fact that they keep trying to find different proof texts and different evidence of the fact that it is really Mimacharat Yom Tov and not Mimacharat Shabbat shows you that the psukim don't read so easily in that manner. And so you have multiple answers because there's a weakness in every answer that's given. And to order to compensate for the weakness, we bring more and more answers. So that in it itself should indicate to you there's a difficulty here in the Pasuk. Mimachad HaShabbat. The best explanation that I've seen is based on Pesuto, who says that the word Shabbat in that time had a meaning of being the middle of the month. So Shabbat was the middle of the month, and therefore Mimachad HaShabbat would be the day after the middle of the month. Or in essence, it's the same thing as saying Mimacharat Yom Tov. Now, they're not saying it with the word Yom Tov, they're using the word Shabbat, but the word Shabbat in that context means the middle of the month. And that's why Chazal interprets Shabbat to be Yom Tov, because the Yomim Tovim fall out of the middle of the month. That's when Sukkot comes, that's when Pesach comes, it comes on the 15th of the month. And that's probably the strongest explanation, but here we're going to see within this context different attempts by Chazal to deal with the issue that the Tzedukim and the Beit Tusim raised, which is Mimrachat HaShabbat, reads more simply, quote-unquote, as being Shabbat Breishit, the day after Shabbat, Motzei Shabbat, rather than Motzei Yom Tov. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Eino Tzarich. You don't need that limud. Arei Omer. It says in Parshat Re'ei, Shiva Shavuot Tisparlach, Me'achel Chemesh Bakama, Techel Ispor Shiva Shavuot. So you have in Parshat Re'ei Tisparlach, Sfira, Guya, Bebeitin. Sheim Yodim, L'chadesh, Mimacharat HaShabbat, Macharat Yom Tov. So now, he says that it says Tisparlach. This is going to become a bigger issue here in the Gemara in 1 second, but we'll discuss it more in detail. But he's saying Tisparlach says that it's got to be a Sfira that's connected to Beit Din. Because Lach means that it will be given over to you, this Sfira. Sheim Yodim L'chadesh Mimacharat HaShabbat, Macharat Yom Tov. Because they know how to set things in place to be Mechadesh, meaning set the Yomim Tovim and the Roshei Chodeshim for Macharat Yom Tov. Yatzat Shabbat Breishit, Sfirata B'chol Adam. If it was really Motzei Shabbat, you wouldn't need Beit Din involved in the process, because every person knows when Shabbat is, and every person knows when Motzei Shabbat is. Good evidence for that is how we do Slichot before Rosh Hashanah. Why do we always start on Motzei Shabbat for Slichot before Rosh Hashanah? The Mishnah Berurah brings that the reason we start Slichot before Rosh Hashanah is we want to have a minimum of 4 days of Slichot before Rosh Hashanah. Both because during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva there are 4 days you can't fast, as well as the Gemara that we saw earlier about setting aside the Korbanot HaTamid, they used to have those that were baduk for 4 days beforehand. They used to check the animals for 4 days before they brought it as a Korban. And because of the language that is found by the Korban Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, which indicates that we are being makriv ourselves, it's a little different nuance in the language versus the other Musafim, so we end up simulating that and doing checking ourselves 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. But then you should have started 4 days before. We don't do that. We always start on a Motzei Shabbat, and that's because Misamna Milto. It's something that's obvious. That's something that everybody can figure out, that it starts on Motzei Shabbat. There's no complications in that. That's exactly what he's suggesting over here. If it was really Macharat HaShabbat, the day after Shabbat, Motzei Shabbat, then you don't need a Beit Din to help you figure out when to start counting. Everybody knows when to start counting. It's Motzei Shabbat. If it's Motzei Yom Tov, then you need the intervention or the directive of Beit Din in order to know when to start counting, because Yom Tov is not something that's fixed. That's dependent on the Kiddush HaKodesh, and that requires Beit Din. So he says the fact that we require a Beit Din over here is indicative of the fact that Macharat HaShabbat must be Yom Tov and not Shabbat Breishit, because Shabbat Breishit anybody could deal with. You don't need Beit Din to interfere. And what's important here is that he's interpreting the instruction in Re'ei, Shiva Shavuot Tisparlach, to mean that it is something that is Tuluya B'Beit Din. We'll have to understand that better, and we'll spend some more time on that in a moment. Rabbi Yishua Omer, Rabbi Yishua brings a different way. Amra Torah, Mnei Yamim, V'Kadesh, Kodesh. Count the days, and then sanctify the month. Mnei Yamim, V'Kadesh, Atzeret. Count the days, and sanctify Atzeret. Ma Chodesh, Samuch Lebiato, Nikar. Just like by the Chodesh, at its beginning, it is visible or clear. Afatzeret, Samuch Lebiato, Nikaret. So to Shavuot, at its beginning, should be obvious. So Rashi explains, look, Rashi and Tosafot disagree about the explanation over here. So, Mnei Yamim, count days and make Rosh Chodesh, because you know that there are 29 days in a lunar month. So you count 29 days, and the 30th day will be Rosh Chodesh, or if it's a longer month, because we're trying to compensate for the 29 and a half days that the lunar month really is, then it may turn out that the 31st day is Rosh Chodesh. Ma Chodesh Samuch Lebiato Cheshbono, Nikar Rashi says, Me'ei Matai Matatchil Limnot, Danu Me'yom Chavtet, Mishat Molad Levana. Just like by Rosh Chodesh, it's obvious that you're going to start counting the month from the Molad HaLevana, which means on the 29th. Af Atzeret Samuch Lebiato. Minyan HaChamishim Nikar Lahem Yom Kavua. Sheyatchilu Limnot Bo. It'll be a fixed day upon which you start. Da'ayinu Macharat Yom Tov Rishon. It's always on Motzei Yom Tov. You always know which day to start counting. And it's something that is obvious from the beginning when you're going to start counting and when Shavuot will fall out. As soon as you determine when Pesach will fall out, at the beginning of the count, you already know when Shavuot is going to fall out. They don't do that, then Shavuot can fall out at different times or different dates each year, which is that you only start counting the 50 from Motzei Shabbat. Motzei Shabbat can fall out at different time periods within Pesach, and therefore it won't be obvious in the beginning where it's going to end up, Shavuot. So that's the way Rashi learns it. Balei Tosafot, Rabbeinu Tam Mefaresh, Ma Chodesh Samuch Leviato, Shel Chodesh Nikar, Matai Yeh, Rosh Chodesh. He says that it's pretty clear when Rosh Chodesh is going to fall out, or at least around when Rosh Chodesh will fall out, the Miyad de Michsei Sihara. Rabbeinu Nireit, as soon as the moon disappears from the sky, Kuliyama Yadei Shayom Yeh Molad, Ulamachar Yikadshu Beitin, they know that now, or soon, is going to be the Molad HaLevana, and Beit Din will make the next day into Rosh Chodesh. And it's not as so obvious, because there's some play in that. But you always know the moon declines, it wanes, and you know that it disappears. Once it disappears, the next thing that's going to happen is going to reappear. When it reappears, you have a good sense of when Rosh Chodesh is going to fall out. You may not know exactly, but it would be very close, or very obvious, when it should fall out. Afatzer Tzirikshini Karvi Yadul Olam Zman Kedushata, Samuch Lebiata, that the sanctifying of Atzeret needs to be clear from the time that it comes out. Dainu Matchilim Linot B'Shisha Sabin Yisan, Shinu Enehem Kama Halavana Gdola B'Chamisha LaChodesh. They know the size of the moon on the 5th of the month. Shreya B'Sivan Milto Shiur Yedu Shalemachar Yitkadesh Atzeret. They'll know that the next day is going to be Shavuot on the 6th of Sivan. You always have a fixed count that goes from Motzei Yom Tov, then it always will fall out on the 6th of Sivan. That's not so true. It could fall out on the 5th, 6th, or 7th, depending on whether the months in between. For us, it always will fall out that way. But in their time, you could have Nisan be Malay or Chaser, and you could have Iyar be Malay or Chaser. That could shift it around 2 days. But nevertheless, what the Rambam Tam is pointing out is that they could benchmark the size of the moon. They know what the moon looks like on the 5th day of the month. So they know that Shavuot is right around the corner. It's going to be on the 6th. If you start the counting of the Omer on a different day each year, depending on when Motzei Shabbat is in the middle of Pesach, then they have no benchmark. They don't know if they're benchmarking against the 5th of the month, the 6th of the month, 7th of the month, 8th of the month, because they don't know when the Omer starts. And that's going to cause them problems in identifying when Shavuot is. That's his explanation. And then he brings an alternate gears here in the Gemara. Rav Meshulam Goris Mene Yamin B'Kadesh Yovel. Should count days. And then we bekadesh the Yovel. Mishom the Bnei Yamim bekadesh Chodesh Naflam Bereish Masech Megillah Michtev Ad Chodesh Yamim. We learn that from something else. Yamim Atam Moneh the Chodeshim V'Atam Moneh Shaot. You count days for the Chodeshim, not hours. Zoe Midrash Chachamim. That's a drasha of the Chachamim. Over here, you're arguing with the Tzdukim. You have to bring evidence from the Torah, not an evidence from something that is a Midrash Chachamim. So days and Chodesh are not a good evidence. Says, "V'lo shayach l'meimar amar Torah with vayshet tzukim odim." Although the Rabbeinu Tam goes on to show that despite the fact that they were arguing tzukim, we find other places in Shas where they bring evidence from something that's a drashat chachamim negative tzukim. He doesn't find that to be untenable here. As well as the fact that we never find maneh yamim v'kadesh yovel. Count the days and then you will have a yovel. Yovel is counted by years. It's not counted by days. He says, even that language doesn't make sense, that you count days and put the yovel into place and be minei shanim. Count years and put the yovel in place. And for those reasons, he dismisses that view of Rabbeinu Meshulam. And then he brings another interpretation. Just like Rosh Chodesh, always know that no matter what, it's got to be 29 and a half days and 793 chalakim. Later, there's going to be the next month. So that means when the 30th day comes, you know you're going to be Mekadesh Tefodesh. Is the equal count. 50 days later will be Atzeret. So if you use just the average scenario, which is that Rosh Chodesh generally falls out on 30 days. Just like Rosh Chodesh, you cannot know when it's going to fall out. Again, it's one of 2 days. You know that it's going to be on that 30th day. It really should be then, except in cases where they need to compensate for the half days along the way. So too, Atzeret is always going to be 50 days later. 50 days after Pesach. That'll only be true if you benchmark it against Pesach. If you don't benchmark it against Pesach, it's not going to be obvious when the 50-day count works. And that's another explanation that he gives. Now, the Gemara says, V'im te'omar, if you say Atzeret Olam Achar Shabbat, if you say that it always falls out on Motzei Shabbat, Eich Dei Nikeret Mishalefanah, how are you ever going to know when it starts or when it falls out? How do you know from the beginning where it's going to be along the way? Because it'll depend on which day of Pesach Motzei Shabbat falls out. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Amra Torah, Havei Omer bePesach, Ushtei Lechem Batzeret. Torah says you bring the Korban Omer on Pesach, you bring the Shtei Lechem Batzeret, Malalan Regel, Utchilat Regel, just like by Atzeret, where it falls out on the holiday, and the beginning of the holiday. That's a little cute, because Atzeret, Shavuot, is only one day. So of course it falls out at the beginning of the Regel, because there's only one day to the Regel when you bring the Shtei Lechem. The Baal Yat Tosfot, note over here, Kevin Tiyesh HaGigato Tashlumim Kol Shiv'a, since there is a seven-day makeup afterwards, Shayach Bat Chilat HaRegel, then there is relevance to the beginning of the Regel. It's not just that it's a one-day holiday, it's a one-day holiday with makeup afterwards. And since you have the Tashlumim days, it really is a longer Regel than one day, and that's why it's Chilat HaRegel. Afkan Regel, so too by Pesach, it's on the Regel itself. U'Techilat Regel, at the beginning of the Regel, all the way at the beginning. If you put it on Motzei Shabbat, you don't know if it'll fall out. It could fall out in the latter part of the Regel. And the truth is, even though the Gemara doesn't mention this, it could possibly fall out not on the Regel at all. Which is that if you have Pesach starts on a Sunday, then the last day of Pesach will be Shabbat. Motzei Shabbat will be the day after Pesach. And it'll turn out that they'll bring the Omer, according to them, after Pesach already. It won't be Pesach anymore. So he brings two pieces of evidence over here. One is Tchilat HaRegel. It has to be at the beginning of the Regel, but also has to be on the Regel itself. And the truth is that, according to the Tzukim, it will not fall out necessarily Tchilat HaRegel. It could fall out even at the end of the Regel. And number two is it could possibly fall out not on the Regel at all, because Motzei Shabbat would be the last day of Pesach. It's a case, it's a rare occurrence even for us, because then it's the cases where Erev Pesach is on Shabbat. So that situation, when it falls out like that, you'll have the last day of Pesach on Shabbat, and then Sunday would be the day of the Omer, which is already post-Pesach, so it won't even be on the Regel. Here there's some question about the Girsa, because at the end of today's daf, they bring another quote from Yehuda ben Beteira, so you have to change the Girsa in one of the two of them, because it doesn't make sense that we have two quotes from Yehuda ben Beteira. So you can see already here, there's a Nusach Acher, from Yeshua ben Beteira over here. So that's trying to solve the problem that's going to come up later. But Yehuda ben Beteira Omer, Nemar Shabbat Lamalo, Benemar Shabbat Lamato. It says Shabbat above, it says Shabbat below. Malahalan Regel, Utchilat Regel. It's like below, it means the beginning of the Regel and the Regel itself. Av Regel Samuchla, that it's Malahalan Regel, Utchilat Regel Samuchla. It's on the Regel, and the beginning of the Regel is right near it. Avkan Regel, Utchilat Regel Samuchla. So to over here, the Regel will be on the holiday and the beginning of the holiday. What he's pointing out is that the word Shabbat appears twice in the Pasuk. It says, Svartam lechem mimacharat ha-Shabbat, which is the beginning of the count. Ad mimacharat ha-Shvi'it, tisbu chamishyom, until macharat ha-Shabbat. Macharat ha-Shabbat is also the end of the count. Macharat ha-Shabbat, the end of the count, is Shavuot. So the macharat ha-Shabbat at the end of the count is associated, number one, with the Regel, with Atzeret, and Tchilat ha-Regel, which is that it's right near the beginning of the Regel. So too, by Pesach, it's going to be the same thing. The Makarat HaShabbat will be on the Regel and Tchilat HaRegel. And again, if you think it really means Makarat HaShabbat means Moshe Shabbat, both of those won't necessarily be true. May not be at the Tchilat HaRegel, and it also may not be Regel Samuchla, that the Regel is right there next to it. It's not on the Regel, number one. And the beginning of the Regel may not be anywhere adjacent to it. You know, that doesn't have to be close to the beginning of the Regel. It can be all the way at the end of the Regel. So that's a problem as well. So now here we had a number of Tanaim giving their evidence as to what they think the reasons are that it's a reference to Yom Tov and not to Shabbat. Now we're going to start a new Braita. That Braita is going to also bring more positions from the Tanaim, getting evidence to the fact that it should be Motzei Yom Tov and not Motzei Shabbat. But the beginning of the Braita brings something which has huge halachic implications, which I'd like to spend some time discussing. And that is Tanu Banan. Sfartan lachem shitei sfira l'kol echad ve'echad. The pasuk says, "V'sfartam lechem," that you should count in the plural. Sheit sfira l'kol echad v'echad. Every person must count themselves. Mimacharat haShabbat, mimacharat Yom Tov. Macharat haShabbat means the day after Yom Tov. Or in ele macharat Shabbat Breishit. Or maybe it really means Motzei Shabbat. How do you know what it means? Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hari Omer, Tispiru chamishim yom. Kol sfirot shatah sofer lo yu ele chamishim yom. All counts that you make should only be 50 days long. If you say it really starts on Moshe Shabbat, sometimes it'll turn out to be 51 days. It'll be 52 days. Sometimes 55, 56, depending where Moshe Shabbat falls out, during the holiday of Pesach. It's a somewhat precarious proof. Again, as I noted before, each one of these proofs have a weakness. The clear weakness over here is that the Tisbu Chamishim Yom, he's benchmarking it against the 16th of Nisan. He's saying sometimes Shavuot is 50 days from the 16th of Nisan, sometimes it's 51, sometimes it could be 52, 53. The count is dependent on the 16th of Nisan. He's saying, well, if you benchmark it against the first day of Pesach, or even the 16th of Nisan when you bring the Omer, sometimes the holiday is going to be 51 days away, 52 days away, 53 days, depends on when you do Macharat HaShabbat. The truth is that whenever you make Macharat HaShabbat, it'll be 50 days from then. So it's not such a strong proof against this because the Tisbu Chamishim Yom is from when you bring the Omer. Whenever you bring the Omer, Shavuot will be 50 days away. You're right, vis-a-vis Pesach or vis-a-vis the 16th of Nisan, it'll be a different amount of time. But that's only because the 50 days start from a different point. That doesn't mean it's 51 or 52 days. It just means the 50-day count starts from a different point. He says, given that benchmark of the 16th of Nisan, it turns out that based on what it was last year, your count this year will be different. That's how Rashi phrases it. The way that you counted for the Shavuot last year, this year will have a different count. So whatever you thought the day was last year to start, if you benchmark from that day again, you're going to get a different number from that day. So it won't be consistent, but if you benchmark it against a consistent day, you will get different numbers, and that's not Tisbu Chamishim Yom. So now we have here either Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, again, which is very difficult, because we just had Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira speak before. So either you have to change the Girsa of the Bali Tosafot over here, mentioned that it has to be Rabbi Yehuda without any ben Beteira. That's what he brings from the Beinu Gershom, that Machak Mehen Batra ben Beteira. On the latter one, he takes out the word ben Beteira and says it's Rabbi Yehuda. Or Garis Rabbi Yehuda Stam. And that is one possibility. Or Tosafot, who, like he says in many other places, says that maybe there were two Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteiras that lived in different time periods. And they're quoting those different Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteiras. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira Omer, Enu Tzarich. You don't need that. Ari Omer, Tispor Lach. Sfira fuya beitin. Sfira that is determined by beitin. Yatzta Shabbat Breshit shesfirata b'chol adam. You come to Shabbat Breshit, that is something that is determined by every individual. That is a similar proof to what we saw above. This idea of Tisparlach, that if you need the intervention of beitin, that implies that there's something changing or moving. If it's always on Motzei Shabbat, then you don't need beitin. Everybody knows when Motzei Shabbat is. That's what we call Misamna Milta. Something that's a identified day, clear day, and everybody would know when to start. You don't need Beit Din involved with it. Yosi Omer, Machrat HaShabbat, Machrat Yom Tov. Ata Omer, Machrat Yom Tov, Ve'ol Eno Machrat HaShabbat, Breshit. How do you know? Amart, V'chi Nemar Mimachrat HaShabbat Shemtocha Pesach. Doesn't say there that it has to be on Motzei Shabbat in Pesach. Halolo Nemar, like Machrat HaShabbat. Tokol HaShana Kulam, Le'ya Shabbatot. The whole year is full of Shabbatot. Say Baduk, Ezu Shabbat. Tell me which one of those is Mimacharat HaShabbat. You, the Tzdukim, who interpret it to mean Macharat HaShabbat means Motzei Shabbat, how do you know which Motzei Shabbat to do it? Where do you have any evidence of the fact? It doesn't mention Yom Tov over here, according to you. And therefore, how do you know when it should be? Bo Nemra Shabbat Demato, Nemra Shabbat Demala, Malana Regel Utchilat Regel, Afkan Regel Utchilat Regel. So again, the same evidence that we saw before, the idea that Shabbat is mentioned twice in the Tzdukim, and the Shabbat, the lower Shabbat, which is in the Regel, and Tchilat Regel, so too the first Shabbat has to have that same feature to it, and with the way that Tzdukim interpret it, you're not going to have that feature. It doesn't have to fall out during Yom Tov according to them, because Motzei Shabbat could be the day after Yom Tov. It also doesn't have to be Tchilat HaRegel. At least we have evidence or reason to believe that it's during Pesach that it falls out. You don't even have that. And therefore, how do you know which Shabbat is? Now, the truth is, where the placement is within Parshat Emor gives you some evidence of where it's going to fall out, but not exact evidence. It's not foolproof, this statement against the Tzdukim, but it is a strong case to be made against them as to how to know which Motzei Shabbat should be the determinant of Mimacharat HaShabbat. Alright, so now the Gemara is going to continue with more reasons in tomorrow's daf, as well as deal with the central issue, which we won't deal with today, which is Sfirat Omer Midrabanan or Midoraita, which is a very important issue that comes up and has implications, again, for our counting. The two issues that I wanted to deal with today are based on the drasha that we just brought in the Braita, which are Svartim Lachem, Shei Sfira L'Kol Echad Ve'Echad, that each individual has to do the counting. So that has two implications. The first of which is, does that mean that the obligation on the individual, and there's no obligation on Beit Din whatsoever? or what's unique about Sfirat Omer that we have a Sfirat Lechem, that means you have to count individually. The Rashba himself, both in Etshuva and in his Perush, notes that it seems to be just the opposite. If you were to ask me how to interpret Sfartam Lechem, wouldn't you assume that Sfartam Lechem means that on behalf of all of you, Beitin should do it, that the Tzibur should do it, and not each Yachid? This is the answer he gives. The Ishlamar, D Rabim L'Tzibur, or the Beitin, Avalei D'Meimar, Usfartam Levad. It should have just said Usfartam. V'lishtok Milachem. The word Lechem is problematic. Gamar Lechem, Mashma Labar, the Kol Echad V'Echad. That's what comes to give evidence to each one individually. Inami. The other option is, and this becomes very important now, midichtiv gabe yovel, because it says by the yovel, safarta lecha. There it says you should count, lashon yachid. Michlau de lachem, lochel echad vechad kamar. This becomes essential to that understanding, which is, the Torah gives a number of times where it instructs us to count. One of them is by the case of the Sfirat Omer, which is safartam lechem. It also tells you to count by the case of the Yovel. The Shemitah and the Yovel, it says, V'safarta lecha sheva shabtot shanim, sheva shanim, sheva pamim. So there is also an obligation to count. Why in one place does it say, Usfartem lechem? The other place it says, V'safarta lecha. What's the difference between lecha and lechem? In addition to that, there are two other places where there's a demand to count. And that's by a zav and a zavah. Ezav and Ezavah were trying to be mitayer themselves. It says there, "B'safar lo shivat yamim l'tarato." By Ezavah, it says, "B'safar la shivat yamim," that she has to count 7 days. And so the question is, what's the difference between all of these countings? Why, in some cases, do we make a bracha? Other cases, we don't make a bracha. Why, in some cases, is it up to Beit Din? Why, in some cases, up to the individual? How do you determine that? So there's a sifra in Behar, which is the source for what many of the Rishonim say over here. It says, V'sarfarta lecha beitin. That is beitin that does it. When it says safarta lecha, that's the impetus or the obligation of beitin, and therefore they have to count to get to the shmitot and to the yovel. Now, with regards to a nida, damar abchinena barkana marshmu minan nida shu sufer datzma. How do we know that a nida counts for itself? Shnemar v'safra la shivat yamim. She has to count 7 days. So now, here you have, the Safarta Lecha is Beit Din, and then Misafra La means that she should count. Now you could argue that one is in third person, one second person, and therefore Misafra La means that she must count for herself, versus Misafarta Lecha, that you will count for yourself. That might be the difference, that one's third person, one second person, maybe that makes a difference. But then, how do you explain our case over here, Misafartem Lechem? So now, Tosafot in Menachot, over here, on Samachayim in bed right here, and he also has his Tosafot in Ketubot. He says, Gabe Yovel Tiv, Misafarta Lecha, Da Beitin Kamar Lehu Rachmana, Veshema Beitin Sofrim Umevarchim. Kamo Shehanu Mevarchim on Sfirat Omer. The same way that we count to make a bracha on Sfirat Omer, maybe Beitin makes a bracha and counts by the Yovel, counts the years for the Yovel. Tosafot in Ketubot says the following, Vim Tomar, Amayim Mevarechet Zaval Sfirata. Why doesn't a Zavah count when she counts for days of Tara, for Nida? Why doesn't she count and make a bracha? Kamoshim Marachim, Asfirat Omer, Da'akti V'Safra. There also says it count. Should be a mitzvah, Yesh Lamar. Deim Mevarachim El B'Yovel, Shem Mevarachim Beit Din B'Chol Shana, Sholam Yuchal Limnot Keseder. They can always count without any interruption. V'Chena Omer can count without any interruption. Al Zavah, Shem Tireh Tistor. If she sees Dam during her count of the 7 days, that will undermine her 7 days, and Malik note. There's no way that she can count with a bracha, because it's not certain that she'll get to the end of the count, which is brought down by Halacha by the Mishnah Berurah. People who think that they're not going to get to the end of the count of Sfirat Omer should consider not counting Sfirat Omer with a bracha, because they know they're not going to make it through. There he says, children, women who don't usually make it through, should be careful about making a bracha. That might have to do with the issue that we'll discuss tomorrow, which is, it's one mitzvah or is it multiple mitzvot? But he does make that suggestion. So over here, the Tosafot already says that we have three different types of counting. We have counting which is on Beit Din, which is v'safarta lecha, that's based on the Sifra. We have v'safartam lechem, which is a personal counting each individual has to do. Both of those require a bracha, it seems, according to the Baalei Tosafot, because of the fact that these are uninterruptible counts. There's something that you can depend on and something you can do on a consistent basis. He speculates with regard to Beit Din. He doesn't know. Maybe they count like the Omer and count the years in the bracha. He doesn't say it definitively. He says by Sfirat Omer, we definitely do. But the count of the Nidah, the count of the Zav, over there, the obligations on the individual. But, nevertheless, there's no bracha because it's something going to be undermined. Now, there is a famous gra that is brought in the Divrei Eliyahu, which are the Kutim of the Chiddushei Ubirim Gra. On Daf Tzadi Dalet, he says, Klal gadolu b'Torah shebichtav. Know this in Torah shebichtav. B'chol makom sh'never l'shon rabim. And he talks in the plural form. Huli yachid. That's an obligation of the individual. Perish. Ki'advarim nemru l'chol ish v'ish v'Yisrael v'yichud. It means it's said to each individual. B'chol makom sh'never l'shon yachid. Whenever he used the singular form, huli rabim. It's talking to the entity, the corporate entity, Klal Yisrael. That's an obligation of the tzibur. Klal Yisrael b'chol nemar devareha. That is said in its totality to Klal Yisrael. And that's borne out by this idea here, that Sefarta Lecha by Yovel is given to the Beit Din, and Sefarta Lachem in the plural is given to each individual. We also have evidence of that by the Mishkan, many other places where it shows that they taught speaking to in the singular form is an obligation of the Tzibur versus the plurality, which is an obligation of the individuals. And that basically is what the Balei HaTosafot, maybe even the Chiddushei Rashba, are pointing out over here. What's even more interesting is the Rabbeinu Yerucham. The Rabbeinu Yerucham in Toldot Adam B'Chava Netiv Hei Chelek Dalet writes, what's the reason? He says, V'chein ayu mevarchim Beit Din olta sfirat shmita. He says, definitively, not like Baitos would speculate, he says, Beit Din makes a bracha on that sfira. Sefarat lecha sheva shabtot shanim, v'lo tiknu shivarchu Beit Din al sfirat omer. How come Beit Din doesn't make a bracha on sfirat omer? Kamo shebisfirat shmita. V'fei shehem yimei katsir. It's the harvest time. Va'am trudim, they're out in the fields. Ve'ena mitzuim bebateim, they're not at home. Lishma mishluchei Beit Din yotzim, they're not going to hear what the shluchei Beit Din are saying that Beit Din did. Lo yodim matay kidshu hakodesh, and they don't know when they were mekadesh the chodesh. Lekach tzivul lishpor, each individual should count. Shiodeya kol achad matay hu shavuot, so every individual will know what is the shavuot. Umitam zeneh sfira b'layla, that's why we count at night. The Fisha Am Shudim, they're busy in the field during the day. The Rebbeinu Yerucham says something incredible. He says the reason Beit Din counts Yovel is because that information can be disseminated to the people. First of all, you have a whole year to do it, but also it's something that can be done during the day. People aren't busy. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim time, that's the end of the drying out in the summer season. It's the time period where people are available. So Beit Din counts, they'll get the information. During the period of Sfirat Omer, which is during the harvest, everyone's out in the fields. There's nobody around to get the information from Beit Din. Nobody around during the day to do it. So the mitzvah specifically at night and specifically on the individual because of the fact that that is the only tenable solution to the problem that nobody's around. And so therefore it's a count that is dependent on the individual. Otherwise nobody would know when Shavuot was. So in order to solve that problem, they place the obligation on the individual so he will know. From Pesach, he'll have his own personal count and he'll know when Shavuot falls out. It's an amazing Rabbeinu Yerucham. The Ramban, Hala Torah, brings the fact. When it says, it's the same as Lakakhtam Lachem by Lulav. Lakakhtam by Lulav means each person has to take their own Lulav. You can't take someone else's Lulav. You can't take one Lulav on behalf of the Tzibur. And same thing with Sfartam Lachem. It says, Vein Kein, Besafra Lo, Besafra Lulav. By the counting of the Nida and the Zav, that's not true. Shem Ratsu Omdim Bitumatam. Gives a different reason than the Balei Tosafot. The Balei Tosafot say the reason that the Zav and the Zavah don't count is because they don't know if they're going to make it to the end of their count. The Ramban says that's not the reason. The reason is that there's no obligation to count. They don't have to count. So why are they counting? Shelo Yishkachu. So they don't forget what they're up to. They want to stay Tamei. They have every right to stay Tamei. They never have to make themselves Tahor. It's true that if you want to become Tahor, you need to count. Why do you need to count? Because you need to know that you got 7 days of Tahara. There's no obligation to count. The count is just a method for knowing that you got the days. And that's evidenced by the fact that you don't even have to count all those 7 days of Tahara. You count the first day and the seventh day. That's good enough. Even though that's only b'diabad, but you see that you don't really need to count each of the days of Tahara. It says the same thing by Yovel. There's no obligation to count. The only reason they tell Beit Din to count is not because it's an obligation to count. It's a bookmark. They have you remember. Don't forget that this is the this year of the Yovel, this year of the Yovel, so that you get to the Yovel in the 50th year. But he says in all three of those instances, there is no obligation to count. Now, in the two, by Zav and Zavah, there's no obligation to do it at all. It's just that if you want to get Tahor, you got to do something, and you need to know how many days. But the Yovel, where there is an obligation to bring it every 50 years, he still says there's no obligation to count. The counting is simply a way to remind yourself so that you don't forget what you're doing. He says, now I don't know. He says, when the Medrash that we brought from Bahar says that the obligations on Beit Din, he's not sure what that means. Does that mean they're obligated like we are by Sfirat Omer, where there's an obligation to count, and each counting is in a discharging that obligation, that's why we make a bracha? Or is it simply like the Zav and Zavah, where you need to count so you don't forget? And he's unclear by Sfirat Lecha Beit Din. Same suffix that the Tosafot had, whether you make a bracha and whether you count. Tosafot made it sound much more like it's an obligation, just a question of bracha. Whereas Ramban's not even sure it's an obligation of Beit Din to count, rather it's an obligation of them to make sure that they don't lose the count. So that's as far as all the Rishonim. The Karen Ora over here makes the point that he says, Lule Yistifani, if I wasn't so embarrassed or afraid, I would argue with all the Rishonim. Says, he would say that, like that side in the Ramban, that there's no mitzvah to count. That the real thing is to make sure that you get the right year for the Yovel. So again, the count by the Zav and the Zavah is so that they know which day they become Tor. The count by the Shemitah and the Yovel is that you know which day, which year is the Yovel. That's not true by Sfirat Omer. What do you mean? Sfirat Omer is to get to the end so that you get Shavuot. He says that's not the case. The whole purpose of the Sfirat Omer is not to be Mikadesh Shavuot. He says the way that we count the Omer is from the Omer. It says you should count miyom haviyachem et Omer tznufa. The count is against the Omer that was brought, not about the upcoming mincha chadasha that you're going to bring. Uchonusach habrocha. The way that we say Omer is yom echad la Omer. La Omer means one day from the Omer, not to. We're not counting towards something. We're counting from something. Vasfira mitzvah la'atzmai. That sfira is an independent mitzvah. He says, Rishonim za lo amru kein. Nobody agrees with me, but he says that that's what I would think. That Sfirat Omer is an independent mitzvah sfira, irrespective of the end, meaning that Shavuot that comes out in the end. He says, nobody says that. None of the Rishonim say that, but I would think that sfira is a mitzvah in and of itself, and that's why you make a bracha, and that's why you have to count. It's an obligation on the individual. All the other sfirot are just a mechanism for getting to the thing that you need afterwards. But that's not true by Sfirat Omer. His evidence is that Sfirat Omer is the La Omer, and not the Ba'omer. By the way, there is a nafkamina in the language. The preposition that you use, Ba'omer and Ba'omer, does make a difference. This Karen Orav makes that point. If you think it's Ba'omer, he thinks that you mean thinks that sphere is an independent mitzvah. If you say Ba'omer, it makes it sound like you're counting towards the end goal, which is Shavuot, and it make a difference that sphere then is connected to the full count, or getting to the end of the count. And that might also be the nafkamina between if you think each day is a mitzvah, or the whole thing is one big mitzvah. Again, we'll deal with that tomorrow. But the most important commentary here, which has some implication, is the Chizkuni. The Chizkuni says that there are two parshiot of Sfirat Omer, one that's found in Parshat Emor, and one that's found in Parshat Re'eh. He says if you look at them, they actually are worded differently, and that means that there's a different din with regards to that. That is that in Parshat Emor, it says, V'sfartim lachem. In Parshat Re'eh, it says, Shiva Shavuot Tispar Lach. So why in one case is it in the plural, and one case it's in the singular? Listen to the Chizkuni. Aval Omer Dechtiv Shtei Sfirot. Achat B'Parshat Emor, Achat B'Parshat Re'eh, Achat B'Beit Din, V'Achat B'Tzibur Tzarech Levarech. He says that by the counting of the Sfira, by the Yovel is only on Beit Din, and that's why there's no bracha. Sfirat Omer, which is an obligation both on Beit Din and on the Yachid. You see what he's doing? He's reading Parshat Emor as an obligation on the individual, Sfaratim Lachem. He's reading Parshat Re'eh, Metis Barlach, as an obligation on the Beit Din. So he thinks Beit Din needs to count the Omer, just like the individual has to count. The bracha is when the individual counts, but there's also an obligation on the Beit Din. That might have to do with the girsa of the Midrash Halacha on Devarim, where the Midrash Halacha has a statement that says, by the Sifrei, it says, Tisparlach Bebeitin. That's the Girsa that we have. Then the Gemara afterwards says, V'Savarta Mecham Al-Kol Echad V'Echad. The Gra changes the Girsa to indicate that that was just a Havamina. The Midrash Halacha says, V'Savarta Tisparlach Bebeitin. That's a Havamina. The Gemara says, no, that's not, the Brisa says that's not true, because it's Sfartam Lachem. But if you don't amend the Sifrei to read like the Gra, it reads like there's, Kuzkuni is suggesting over here that there are actually two mitzvot. Tisbar lach, beitin. Sfartam Lachem, I'll call Yachid v'Yachid. It's not a Havamina, it's actually the conclusion of the Gemara, that there are two obligations. For that reason, we find, and it's interesting, it's hard to understand, we do find amongst many of the poskim, an obligation to count the Omer Bitzibur. Why is there an obligation to count the Omer Bitzibur? Mitzvah called Yachid B'Yachid, what's the issue of Tzibur? But that might be connected to this idea that there was also a Beit-in obligation or a Tzibur obligation to count Sefirat Omer. You find that in the Shla. People in Europe always daven before Zman Mariv, Arvit, they daven before the Zman, because it was too late for them to do it. So they used to daven early and miss way before Tzeta Kochavim. He says there's a new group of people getting together in Poland, and he says in Prague, where they're starting to daven bizman. They're davening Maariv bizman, and he encourages that. He says there's a lot of benefits to that. And he says especially during the time of Sfirat Omer, it makes sense to do this. What do you need Sfirat Omer b'tzibur? Very strange statement. It's also quoted by the Be'er Heitev. And again, this Chuzkuni seems to indicate that there is some benefit to counting Bitzibur. We find other small pieces of evidence to that. Again, with regards to the counting of the Omer, that doing it Bitzibur, there's some benefit or there's some positive aspect of doing it Bitzibur, even though it's an obligation on the individual, that might relate to this Chuzkuni and to that Girsa within the Sifrei, as to whether there might have been also an obligation on the Tzibur, not just on the Yachid. Again, there's more to speak about the difference in the Parshiot that we'll speak about tomorrow with regards to Doraita Derabanan. The other thing that comes out of this question of Misfatim Lachem, Al-Kol Yachid B'Yachid, is a question of whether someone can be motzi another individual. The Shomeya Ke'uneh work by Sfirat HaOmer. So first of all, with regards to the Brocha, almost all the poskim Rishonim come to the conclusion that the Brocha can be Shomeya Ke'uneh, because the Brocha is not the Sfirat HaOmer. And therefore, you can invoke Shomeya Ke'uneh. The question is, by the Sfira itself, does Shomeya Ke'uneh work or does it not work? Over here, you have a significant difference amongst the poskim as to whether Sfirat HaOmer, Shomeya Ke'uneh can work. And it has to do partly with the practices that we find in a number of places, where in Mitzrayim, they had the practice that the Tzibur used to count, and then the shots would count afterwards. After the Tzibur already counted, the shots would count afterwards, not before. So they changed the minog in Mitzrayim, and it seems that it took hold to put the shots first, and then have the people count afterwards. The reason they did that was because they were running into huge problems where nobody knew what to count. Meaning that it was the night comes to count, everybody counted, and the shots would do it afterwards. By the time the shots did it afterwards, indicating what the day was, everybody had counted already, and they were in a big mess. And so therefore, they swapped out the practice that the shots would do it first, and then everybody would do it afterwards. So the question that was posed, and again, it's not the practice in Mitzrayim, but the question was posed to the Rashpo is, if the shots already makes the bracha beforehand, and we answer amen, how do we make a bracha afterwards? Isn't it a bracha levatala? So the Rashba writes that that is not the case, because if you have negative kavana, then you're not yotze with that of the shatz, and you can make your own bracha. But first of all, he's clear there that you can be yotze, and he indicates that even possibly in that shuva, that you can be yotze the Sfirat HaOmer with the counting of the shatz, even though that's soter, another shuva, the Rashba, where he seems to indicate only the bracha and not the Sfirat HaOmer. In order to reconcile that, you have different ways in the Achronim how to deal with that. The Pre-Chodosh reconciles it by saying, Eino Chanami, B'diavad, you can be Yotze Shomek Ones Sfirat HaOmer based on the Rashba. The Chatchila, every person should count themselves. In the end, the Pre-Chodosh backs away from that and says, even the Chatchila, you can do Shomek Ones. Shomek Ones can work here, like it works in every other place, and you should be able to count with someone else's count and be Yotze. That's the view of the Pre-Chodosh. And the Birkei Yosef also favors heavily this view of the Pri Chodosh. And he says that's the explanation for that minhag in Mitzrayim. Why did they originally count before the shots? Not to have that problem of being Yotze with the shots is count and then count afterwards. So they counted first. Now it led to a huge problem where they had to flip it around. But that's an interesting change. But he claims the original reason they did it was to not have this problem with Shomei Kodem being Yotze. That practice in Mitzrayim might also reference or be related to the Chizkuni, where the Tzibur counted first to be Yotze Kol Echad V'Echad. Then the shots did it again to do it as, quote-unquote, the Beit Din or the Tzibur as a whole. And therefore they accomplished both the Yechidim do it and the Tzibur do it. Otherwise, why is there any reason for the shots to repeat it after the Yechidim already been Yotze the Mitzvah? On the other hand, the Magen Avraham, the Primi Godim, and the Eliyahu HaZut, based on the Levush, all seem to indicate that you cannot use Shomei Ka'one over here by Sefirat HaOmer. Sefirat HaMlachem means there's an obligation on every individual, and every individual means Shomei Ka'one cannot work over here. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down the halacha. Mashma mitzvah chal kol yachid v'yachid. Ve'enei mashma mizeh, the sphere ain't kamo b'shar mitzvot ha'talui b'amira. It's not like every other mitzvah, Kiddush, Abdullah, and all these things where you meet Yotze with your friend, but you have to do it yourself. He says, Avo yesh me'achronim shkatvu, the kamanat ha'torah, rak to lo ne'imad the mitzvah zu ha'beitin. What does it mean, Sfartim Lechem? It means you and not beitin. Doesn't mean that you and nobody else. That's a machloket achronim as to whether you can do it. Brocha, he says, it's clear you can do your Shomei Ka'oneh, but he says, with regards to the mitzvah of Sefirat HaOmer, it's better for you to personally count, to be Yotze Kol HaDeot. He says, if you do it Shomei Ka'oneh, it's kedai to repeat Sefirat HaOmer without a brocha afterwards. And then in the Bir Halacha, he speaks about this machloket, and he says that he thinks it's a machloket rishonim. He thinks it's the difference between the way Rashi explains the Gemara over here. He says, the Kol Echad V'Echad, Rashi says, Shekol Echad Chayav Bispor. Rashi says here, every individual is obligated to count. Whereas the Ritz Geyut, he says, Mashu She'Echad Yechol Etzi Et Chaveiro B'Zeh. Thinks that the Ritz Geyut says something else. And he says that that might be a Machloket Rishonim, not just a Machloket Achronim, as to whether you can do Shomea Ke'oneh. But again, he says that he thinks that if it's a Machloket of the Rishonim event, and in Machor Achronim, to be Yotze Kulam, it's better to count yourself and not use Shomei Ka'oneh. In the Masorah Journal, quote in the name of the Rav, that he doesn't understand the side that says you be Yotze B'Shomei Ka'oneh. He says counting the Omer is not an Amira. It's a counting. It's something very different between an Amira and counting. For instance, the Magen Avraham brings down that you're allowed to count in any language you want. The only caveat is you need to understand what you're saying. He says, if you count in Hebrew, you don't understand what you're saying, you're not Yotze Sefirat HaOmer. So what you see from that is the issue is not the articulation of the words. You have to count. Counting is the obligation, not Amira. And he says, therefore, there can't be any Shomei Ka'oneh here because you can't transfer that concept. You can have an Amira that passes from one individual to another individual. If you have an obligation to make Kiddush, to make Abdullah, that's an Amira. That you can pass through Shomei Ka'oneh. But an obligation to count is not an amira. The amira is just an articulation of the counting that you are doing. But you need to count. And the only way to count is for each individual to count. And it can't be done through amira. And therefore, there's no din of Shomei Ka'oneh here. It's not even relevant, the din of Shomei Ka'oneh. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal says, that he doesn't think that there's any legs to stand on in terms of Shomei Ka'oneh. Because it's not that din in amira, it's a din in sfira. Okay, we're going to stop here. 11 lines down on the top of some of Avon Av. We'll continue with these issues of Sefirat HaOmer as to whether it's the right or the Rabbanan, one mitzvah or multiple mitzvot tomorrow.